don't know exactly what Nityananda Chandra Prabhu has said already, but the word yoga means to link or connect, like the English word yoke, like to yoke oxen, comes from yoga. And the purpose of yoga is to connect with the Supreme Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita is the basic textbook of yoga. And within the Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Krishna, he says that the highest yoga is bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion, devotional service. And only by bhakti yoga can he be known fully. So bhakti yoga is a way of life. Every part of the devotee's existence is meant to be favorable to his developing his eternal relationship with God, who we call Krishna. And so that would apply to eating too. Actually, if anyone wants to know about yoga, you should read the Bhagavad Gita, because everything is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, if you want to know about life, the purpose of life, and how to live your life, you should read the Bhagavad Gita. But as far as the food aspect, which someone mentioned, well, the idea is that everything in existence is either God or the energy of God. And we are the energy of God. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he has two energies, the superior energy, which is the spiritual energy, and the inferior energy, which is the material energy. The spiritual energy is conscious. We are spiritual energy. And the material energy is dead matter. So our bodies are made of material energy, but we, the living being, is spiritual. And when the spiritual spark leaves the body, it's dead. In fact, it's always dead. It's just a machine, it's always dead, but we say that it's alive when the soul or the atma, jivatma, is present. So our spiritual master gives the example that if you do a mathematical calculation and you make a mistake in the first step, then even if you perform all the other steps perfectly, you may get further and further away from the answer. So, in the same way, if we make a mistake in the first step of understanding who we are, if we think we're the body, and then we do everything perfectly based on the idea that we're the body, we'll get further and further away from real satisfaction and happiness. So we have to understand first who we are. And there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita that can convince us that we're not the body, but we're the soul within the body. One example is that in this life span, we are changing our bodies. Like if I show you a picture of five babies and one of them is me, but you won't know which is me because that baby's body and my body now are different. So Krishna says that just as the soul passes through many bodies during this lifetime, at the time of death, it also enters into another body. It's very logical. It's called transmigration of the soul, or reincarnation. But the goal of human life, yes, so in whatever body we accept, we have to suffer. And the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, there's so many sufferings, but it mentions four that we cannot stop. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarsha. Birth, death, old age, and disease. We can't stop them. And therefore, having a material body is not a very good situation because of these miseries. And there are so many other miseries, but these are like basic. So, to get out of this samsara chakra, this cycle of birth and death and accepting material bodies and suffering, one needs to practice yoga, and specifically bhakti yoga. So there are many processes in bhakti yoga, nine, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. And out of these nine, the first three are most important. Shravanam means hearing. What you're doing right now is also part of bhakti yoga. You are hearing. Of course, everyone hears, unless they're deaf, but hearing about Krishna. So shravanam, then kirtanam means to chant, to repeat what you have heard. And generally, the kirtanam or the chanting begins with the holy name of Krishna. Perhaps you chanted this evening. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that is the easiest and best method for realizing God in this age. And there is a verse, Harinama, 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 Yudhakevla. That means chanting the name of Krishna, of God, chanting the name of Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna. Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this present age, there is no other means of success. And it's repeated three times for emphasis. You must chant, you must chant, you must chant. And there's no other way, no other way, no other way. Not by karma yoga or dhyana yoga or astanga yoga. There was once a cartoon in a magazine, and an old, which our guru, Srila Prabhupada, saw, and he would refer to sometimes, because some devotee showed it to him. So there's an old man and an old lady sitting next to each other, across from each other. And the old lady was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the old man was saying, can't, can't, can't. So although chanting is the easiest and best and most sublime method, sometimes we have a, a causeless reluctance to chant. There's no reason. No good reason, no reason at all. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's easy, it doesn't cost anything, it's not fattening, it's not against the law, there's nothing against it. So we should chant. And you can do it anywhere, anytime. Of course, people are known to sing in the shower, so you can chant in the shower, you can chant in the car, you can chant on the bus, you can chant anywhere, at any time. And you'll feel the result. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any other questions or comments?
Some of them are the art students, so the idea of what's the essence or the concept behind our artwork and ideas that you see in the paintings.
Oh yes, that's very good. Well, the idea is that God or Krishna should be the center of all our activities. And whatever you like to do, you can do it for Krishna. So if you like to paint, you can paint for Krishna. Sometimes people have difficulty understanding that God has a form. They think that if God has a form, you're limiting him. But the opposite is true, really. If you say that God can't have a form, you're limiting him. God is our origin. He has made us. So he must have everything that we have and more. So we have form, so he must have form. We have personality, he must have personality. we have senses, he must have senses. He can speak, I mean, we can speak, we can walk, he can do all those things. But although we are persons and he is a person, there's a difference. So in quality we are the same, just like a drop of water from the ocean has the same qualities as the whole ocean, but the quantity is different. So yeah, we have the same qualities as God, but in different quantity. He is infinite and we are infinitesimal. So this is it's a very sublime philosophy, very perfect philosophy. And any thing that we would do in the material world with a mundane focus, we can do for Krishna. So we can speak about Krishna. We can paint pictures of Krishna. And that will be the perfection. The perfection of our speech will be speaking about Krishna. Perfection of language and perfection of artwork will be to glorify the Lord through that medium. So yeah, it's like you don't have to. In a way, you don't really have to change anything. You just have to change the center. This isn't a type of yoga where you have to go to the forest or the mountain caves and whatever, sit erect and press your nose and. But this yoga, which is the highest, bhakti yoga, you can basically do all the things that you're doing now, but just make some adjustments so that they're favorable for Krishna consciousness, for God consciousness. And I think traditionally, many of the greatest works of art and architecture and music, were done for the glory of God. So. Anything else from anyone?
I want to ask a question about the music with the chanting earlier. Is there a catalog of melodies and rhythms that are standard for chanting, or are those improvised? Does every community have their own? Can you talk about where that comes from?
There are standard melodies, but the real thing is the holy name. The melody is just meant to support the holy name and evoke some feelings while we're chanting. But some of the tunes that we sing have been composed by our contemporaries. They're not, some of them do come from hundreds of years, ragas, different ragas, but some have been composed by our contemporaries and they're beautiful. So yeah, if you have the ability, you can compose your own tune.
And can it be with any instruments, or are there certain instruments that are required or less helpful?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, this mridanga drum is traditional and helpful. And then we have the hand cymbals called kartals, and these are also traditional and helpful. And then there's the harmonium, which is not that old, but it has been adopted by our predecessors, and that's good. I mean, you can play any instrument. I mean, sometimes we have big kirtans, and you know, some devotee will play a violin, some devotee will play a flute, some even play guitar. So, in that way, there's no limitation, but the holy name should be prominent. The music shouldn't drown it out or eclipse it, but it should support it.
That ties in with a question I had. I've heard, Lord and Krishna and Rama and the Supreme Being and different titles and God. So, but only those two are supposed to be the holy name. So like if other cultures have different ways of saying God, then that's not the holy name, the Krishna and the Brahma are the holy names?
No. Any bona fide name of the Supreme Being in any language or culture counts as the holy name. We chant the Maha Mantra. Mantra means literally, man means mind, and tra comes from triate, which means to deliver. So the mantra is meant to deliver the mind from material conceptions and misery. And of all the mantras, this one that we emphasize, it's not that on our own we decided to emphasize it, but it's been handed down. I mean, for thousands of years, it's in the Vedic text, this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the Maha Mantra. But you can chant other names of the Supreme God. But it's not that every name is a name for the Supreme God. And especially when it comes to Vedic culture, there can be confusion. Because although there's one Supreme God, but he has his agents, the servants, his agents, and some people are not clear who's the Supreme God and who's who. Like a king will have ministers, and the ministers are also very powerful. But their power is derived from the king. They're rewarded for their faithful service by the king, by being given the post of minister. So, in, you could say, the cosmic reality, so Krishna is the supreme, but that's the supreme Krishna here. He can also be called Raman. He has his own names, but they are referring to the Supreme. And then there's like Brahma. You could say he's the minister of creation. Shiva, the minister of destruction. Durga, she's like the superintendent of the material world. All of these, they say devatas are demigods. They're servants of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So, yeah. Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh. So it's a mistake to chant those names and think you're chanting the name of the Supreme. But yes, Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, or Gopal, Govinda, those are different names of Krishna. And so those can certainly be chanted. Now there are other names in other traditions, such as Jesus, Allah, and those can be chanted also. I used to spend time in Pakistan, and while I was there I came across a book called The 99 Names of Allah. Like in the Vedic texts, there's 1,000 names of Vishnu. So there I found 99 names of Allah. So in one sense you could say God has no name, but he can be addressed with the nomenclature derived from his forms, his qualities, his activities. So, for example, in the 99 names of Allah, one is Habib, which means friend. And you find that name for Krishna also. Dinabandhu, the friend of the distressed. So those can be chanted. We say if you have a name of God that you are chanting, you can continue with that. But if you don't, then you can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is universal. It's not sectarian. And it is arranged scientifically, and it's very powerful. You can chant it for a long time. But yeah, if someone is chanting Allah, Allah, or Jesus, Jesus, that's good too. You can encourage them.
We had a privilege of visiting the temple before we came over here, and they were starting a service in the temple. What is taking place in the temple be different or similar to what's taking place here?
Good question. What they're doing in the temple is also part of bhakti yoga. And I mentioned there were 9 processes. And I said the first two, three are the most important. That's Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, chanting, Smaranam means remembering. But if you go further, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, I mean serving the lotus feet, Archanam. Archanam means worshipping the form of the Lord. So what you saw in the temple, that's another process of bhakti yoga, archana. Vandana, offering prayers. And those prayers can be of your own heart's spontaneous expression, or they can be prayers that have been come down to us. They're both included in that. Vandanam Dasyam, rendering service. And last is Atman Nivedanam, just like surrendering yourself fully. So yeah, there are these 9 processes. And in principle, everything that you see performed by devotees should be some process of devotional service. like painting. I said, well, painting wasn't in the list. But painting comes under archana. That's decorating the form of the Lord. It's a way of worshiping the form of the Lord. Even honoring prasad, eating the food that we prepare with love and devotion for the Lord and offer to the Lord, that's also part of archana, because it's offered. It's offered to the Lord, and then we respect or honor or eat the remnants. The idea is, like, I lived in India for many years, and, you know, they're very, very aristocratic families, and they have servants in the house. And it's quite natural that that after the master, so-called master, eats, then the servants eat what's left. Of course, there's always enough. So it's the same idea here. We are servants of God, and so we see that He is fed first, and then we eat the remnants, what's left. But in this case, because the master is Krishna, the whole those remnants are sanctified, and they have spiritual effects. Yeah, the Bhagavad Gita says that people who prepare food just for their own nourishment or sense enjoyment, they're eating sin. But those who eat the remnants of food that has been offered in sacrifice to Krishna, they become freed from sin by eating that. So another way of looking at it is everything is the property of God. So if you take God's property and eat it, it's a sin. It's like you're stealing God's property. But he allows you to eat, of course, but he wants you to acknowledge him and offer it to him first. Another example is that at a dinner table, a child may offer some of the food to the father, or mother. And the father or mother will be very pleased. They don't need the child to offer the food. All the food is coming from them. But it's that mood of devotion, love from the child that, there's something nice, you should have it. So we will be having some of that soon. I would like to say a little something about Independence Day. It wasn't in my mind, but as we were driving past the entrance to the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, I saw a big American flag flying in the wind. And I was surprised by how sort of happy I was to see that flag. And the reason I was happy is because in the United States we have the freedom to practice our religion. Of course, this is not exactly a religion. It's we often prefer to call it a science, but people would take it as a religion. So that's a great blessing, which people don't have in all other places. And our teacher who brought this knowledge and this process from India very much appreciated that about America. He was allowed to come, he was allowed to practice and preach Krishna consciousness, and like he sometimes said, you know, America gave him everything, gave him men and support. So yeah, we are fortunate in that way. We could do better, I'm sure, but the basic principles, you know, which the nation was founded, allow us to practice Krishna consciousness or any religious tradition. That's a blessing. Anything else from anyone? So we'll have. You haven't served prasad yet, have you?
No, thank you.
All right, so now we'll have some of that food that has been offered to Krishna. I mean, that now this is another point. You're also intelligent. I won't even wait for you to ask. I will anticipate that you will ask. And that is, can we offer Krishna anything? Well, there are certain items we can't offer, like meat, fish, eggs. And there are some other items that are vegetables, but they're not wholesome, like onions and garlic. We don't offer those to Krishna. And, you know, traditionally, Krishna ate a certain type of cuisine when he was present on Earth 5,000 years ago, and in the spiritual world, there are descriptions of what preparations Krishna eats. And I don't know what they've made tonight, but even if it's not one of the traditional items that Krishna eats, which is generally what you'll see if you look closely, like what they offer in the temple. But it's the same idea, it's prepared with love and devotion and made with, you know, the acceptable ingredients you can offer to Krishna. Even, and if I knew the menu, I could say that even pasta, I mean, you can offer pasta to Krishna. So now we'll be having that. And we say a prayer before we eat. Although the other day, I mean, I don't know if I should make such a joke, but the other day someone sent me a sort of, like a cartoon, not exactly a cartoon, but like two girls sitting next to each other. And the one girl says, "Do you pray before you eat?" And the other girl says, "No, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook." But we pray in a mood of, yeah, expressing our appreciation to God. So, I'll recite a translation of a prayer. that we often recite in Bengali language. That's not so. I'll say a few words at a time and you can repeat responsibly. O Lord,
this material body
is a lump of ignorance. And the senses are a network of paths, leading to death.
Of all the senses,
the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. But dear Lord,
you are so kind
that you have given us this nice prasad.
Spiritual foodstuffs
to help us control the tongue. Therefore, let us take this food
to our full satisfaction,
and in love call for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Those are different things of God. So, yes, enjoy.
Hare Krishna.
We're having not dogs.
So today we have a veggie smoky not dogs.
Today we have veggie smoky not dogs.
Not dogs. Not hot dogs, not dogs.
But not dogs.
Not dogs.
Macaroni and cheese, homemade.
Yeah?
Macaroni and cheese.
Homemade macaroni and cheese.
And potato salad.
Potato salad.
Chips.
Chips.
And orange cake.
And orange cake. Krishna enjoyed a good feast tonight. And now we're having the remnants.